Over the weekend, the Kaufman County, Texas District Attorney Mike McClellan and his wife Cynthia were found shot to death in their home outside of Dallas. The case has received national attention because the DA was already openly carrying a gun for protection after one of his assistant DAs was shot 2 months ago. The case is under investigation. We'll bring you an update on that case from our affiliate station KERA in Dallas in just a few minutes. But these are just three of the more than 3,000 people who have been killed by firearms since the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut last year. In the case of the McClellan family, five children have been made orphans from just this one shooting. What we want to explore this morning is something that underscores all of this violence, the public health implications of gun availability, and the difficult political question of even making the calculation, what is the real cost of guns in America? We're joined by Jeffrey Young. He's a healthcare reporter for the Huffington Post. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me on.
Also with us is Dr. Samson Davis. He's an emergency physician at St. Michael's Medical Center in Newark, New Jersey, the author of the book Living and Dying in Brick City, an ER Doctor Returns Home. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
As a doctor, let's begin with you. How can you calculate the cost of guns? And there are many people who will be listening to you saying, well, he's an ER doctor. He sees people with gun wounds. He can't be objective.
Well, I mean, it's an exorbitant cost. If you look at the financial aspect of it, you're talking about billions of dollars a year spent on treating patients who suffer from multiple gunshots. And then there's the moral sort of humanistic value in which you can't replace a life. When a trigger is pulled, you lose the person who's been impacted by the gunshot wound, but also the other person who's pulling the trigger. Families impacted when they're caught and taken away and put in prison the rest of their life.
How do you see that from a community perspective? And again, Newark, New Jersey is your home. And I gather that not only as a ER doctor, but as someone who's a member of the community, you see the ripple effects.
Yeah, I grew up in Newark, and I mean, firsthand, I experienced it myself. I was 16 years old when I had a gun pointed at me, and you know, I just imagine if that person would have pulled the trigger, I would not be here today. I would not be a part of a solution or a positive product of the community. I would have been erased from this planet. Also, it was I speak of a young man who I grew up with, who I was pretty good friends with, and when I decided to pursue academics and go down the road of college and medical school, he stayed down the road of hanging out in the streets. And when I returned home to do my trauma rotation in Newark, I saw a name on a board during the medical rounds, and the name was Don Moses. And I said to myself, wow, what are the possibilities that that's the same Don Moses that I grew up with? And so right through his name was a slash, and written underneath it was the word deceased. And when the medical rounds was over, I sprinted down the hall to the surgical intensive care unit, and his family was gathered around the room, and it was the same Don Moses. He had been shot multiple times the night before and died from the gunshot wound. So just imagine how that split decision to go down the positive side changed my life, and I was reminded that in a very graphic way.
Dr. Samson Davis is an emergency room physician at St. Michael's Medical Center in Newark, New Jersey. Jeffrey Young, you hear a lot of the kinds of stories that Dr. Davis is telling us, and a lot of the sort of political pushback is this is emotional, this is the kind of thing that causes us to make knee-jerk policy decisions that don't end up having any sort of public health impacts. How do we calculate the cost on a large scale of the availability of guns in the United States?
Well, the doctor touched on some of it. First, you've got just the direct medical costs. You know, and from everyone I spoke to for a story that I wrote about this last week, the injuries that are caused by firearms are very severe. And that may seem too obvious to point out, but I think it bears repeating. And for example, you know, compared to other kinds of weapons or other kinds of violent trauma, this is what I heard over and over again from the emergency physicians I spoke to. And as the doctor was pointing out, if someone dies or if they end up with a lifetime disability, like someone I interviewed for my story, those costs pile up too, not just in terms of their medical expenses, but in terms of their lost productivity. If someone's dead or seriously injured and they're not working, they're not contributing to society in that way, etc. And another big piece of it, and this I was unable to find a way to quantify it for my story, but it's kind of intuitive, you know, particularly in cities where there's a high level of gun violence, the hospitals there, the emergency departments, the trauma centers, they have to be prepared at all times to treat these patients. And it's not the only form of trauma. You have car accidents, falls, things like that. But because gunshot wounds are so seriously damaging, those patients need immediate and very intensive treatment right away. You know, as one doctor put it to me, when someone comes in with a bullet wound, they don't even know where the damage is. So they have to do a lot of evaluation, a lot of testing, multiple surgeries, etc., and that really piles up. And to go a little bit further, there is, and it's not one-to-one, but there's, as I wrote in my story, a fair degree of overlap in the populations of people who are, you know, most likely to be victims of gun violence and those people who don't have any health insurance. So in addition to the resources that go into the fixed costs of having, you know, a top flight trauma center, for example, and then the fact that the patients in question very often, from what I'm told, can't pay their bills. So that gets shared by the rest of us, either in the form of Medicaid coverage or Social Security disability benefits, et cetera.
Jeffrey, let me interrupt you here because we're almost out of time. Is there a political sensitivity for the government to even calculate this as a public health disaster or a public health problem? Does the gun lobby have that kind of influence?
Yeah, there's a law from the late 1990s which puts pretty serious restrictions on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, et cetera, doing gun research. Obama just recently ordered the agencies to resume that research anyway. We'll see if there's any backlash to that.
Jeffrey Young is a healthcare reporter for the Huffington Post. Dr. Sampson, a final thought?
I think more has to be done. I mean, lives are being lost. 3.5 people are murdered an hour through guns. So we have to have some amendments and adjustments with the laws when it comes to guns.
Dr. Sampson Davis is an emergency physician at St. Michael's Medical Center in Newark, New Jersey, the author of the book Living and Dying in Brick City, An ER Doctor Returns Home, Calculating the Public Health Cost of Gun Availability in the United States. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.